So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called her to her and said, Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, Do not fear, go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son? And he said to her, Give me your son. So he took him out of her arms and carried him up to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge? By killing her son? And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, See, your son lives. Then the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth, is the truth. Amen. That's the word of God. 2 weeks ago we spoke about the necessity, especially in the end times, that we will need to be under the covering of the Lord. We want his blessing. We need to be under his shelter as the climax of days come. And we mentioned about Revelation 13 and how this one world economy, religion, and is all been coming into place. But the Lord wants not just his people to survive. He wants them blessed so they will be a blessing to others. Supernaturally, even when it is hard to buy and to sell, the Lord will provide. I often think that how he miraculously provided for the Israelites in the wilderness, how he gave them their manna, how he gave them their food, how he gave them shoes which didn't wear out, that was a miraculous provision. And I think that many in the last days we'll see the hand of the Lord. But it's teaching us today to depend on him, to look to him. He is the source. And last week we just spoke, you know, friends, we really do need to get into the presence of the Lord, to fall in love with him, to embrace him as Father. What a good God he is. How he loves. And I believe, you know, the Lord was very gracious and merciful to us. And we come to this chapter in 1 Kings and chapter 17. And I do believe there's a few principles here that God would speak to you and to me, even today. And not just for today, so they will abide in us and bear fruit. We are told again and again in Scripture, but particularly in James, do not be forgetful hearers of the word. You know, we've got to resist the enemy if he would come and try and steal it away. You know, he would steal the blessings that you've had already this morning. He will say to you, did God say he's going to break the heavy yoke? Did he? Oh no, that was the person next door to you. That's his tactics. You resist him. Say, the Lord has spoken. The Lord is for me. We have to resist. Do not be forgetful hearers. Do not be hearers only, but doers of the word. Lord, how does this apply to me? How am I going to be a blessing to my family? How am I going to be a blessing to my neighbor? How am I going to live under your covering? Thank you, Lord, for speaking. Holy Spirit, minister your word to me. So I do believe there's principles here, even in the midst of suffering. And of course, there was a drought. Elijah said, the drought had already begun, and the drought was going to last. It was going to last something like 3.5 years. And it was brought really as a consequence of Israel's disobedience. God was angry. God was judging. You can read all about it in the preceding chapters and so on. Now, what is the first principle? I would suggest it is, well, being obedient to God. It starts with obedience to God. It starts with obedience with God who provides. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. We need to listen and to obey, don't we? And friends, we're so privileged. We've got this wonderful book here, the Bible. And it is a lamp to our feet. God wants to direct our paths. Now, he didn't tell me that I'd got to put this tie on this morning. I decided to put this tie on. But the big issues of life, he wants to be involved in. God wants to be involved. He can speak to our heart from the word, through a brother, through a sister, through a song. It's not a one-off. We need to be intimately involved with the Lord. He speaks to us. We've got to know this word. And the things which he says, do, Lord, give me the grace. I want to do them. I want to follow you. Because that's the pathway of blessing. So in all the decisions of life which are important, he's our father. Don't you think he wants to be involved with his children? I do. And I long that we will spend more time in relationship with the Creator. Hallelujah. And to know his word and be doers of his word. And this coming Saturday is going to be so important, I believe. Elijah knew his calling. He suddenly burst on the scene, doesn't he? Suddenly burst on the scene. He's a prophet of God, and he has some tough messages to bring. Elijah knew his calling. He knew he's sent from God to speak the word of the Lord. He knew that. It may not have been easy for him, but he knew he had been sent from God to proclaim the word. And friends, when you know your calling, you don't have to worry about somebody else's. You can rejoice in their successes. If you know your calling, your place in the body of Christ, and it may to other people's eyes be little, but for the Lord it's important. Obedience and sacrifice and doing what God has called you to be. Certainly called you to be an ambassador, but you can rejoice in other people's successes because you're secure in your calling. And that's very important, friends. And let me tell you something else very, very important this morning. The Lord is more important in our character than he is in our giftings. That's very, very important. Grasp it. Some of you perhaps are struggling because as yet you haven't really died to self and learned to find what is on the heart of the Lord. You're so busy wanting to go be out there or do this, that and the other. And the Lord's saying, no, that time is coming. And when I release you, you're going to abound in my love, my energy, and my spirit. It won't be you. But he's still forming you and me into his likeness. And some of these, look friends, I'm not talking sinless perfection. I'm not talking that. But I am talking that those things which irritate people, because that's all they see. That's what the Lord is dealing with. And then Christ is seen. I'm still the same Jim. But hopefully as the Lord works and forms himself and I become more and more conformed to him, it's Jesus. And the bad bits of Jim grow less and less. Now, friends, character. You can see me this morning. It's what I'm like at home, the same as you. What are you watching at home? What are you doing? What are you doing in the workplace? Do you lose it too often? Are you watching things which are not helpful and conducive? Character. God's interest in character. The giftings then follow. You abide in Christ, hallelujah, you will bear fruit. Praise be to his name. This is dying to self. This is just coming and resting in the loving arms of the Lord. See, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Friends, I love this. God is the provider. Interesting is the Lord says, I want you to, go to a brook. Now, when water is scarce, the brook is the first place which dries up. Interesting, that, isn't it? You'd think you'd go to a river or the sea, or, but the brook. But God says to go to a brook. Elijah was obedient. He was obedient. Obedience, blessing. Find it incredible, really. There's Elijah, and he's got to be fed. There's no sort of nourishment around. So God says, I'm going to send the ravens to you. Well, think of it for a moment. What would have been going through Elijah's mind? I mean, what would it be going through your mind if God says you're going to be fed from the, the bird's beak? But worse, this was a raven. This was something detestable, not to be eaten. It was unclean. Think of that. Where do ravens get their food? They get it from the dumps, from the rubbish tips. What would have been going through Elijah's mind? But he was obedient. Morning and day, for 6 months or so, he was fed miraculously. God provides. So friends, if God is saying to you something which seems scary, or you're trying to reason it out with your natural, if you're convinced this is the word of the Lord, go for it. Please, please. He can use the ravens. Hallelujah, what a good God he is. What a good being obedient. Friends, if Elijah had not followed God when the brook ran dry, then he would never have met the widow that allowed God to give supernatural intervention. And I don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss out, do you? It may seem pretty menial what God is saying, or may seem ridiculous what God is saying, but you don't know what's just around the corner if you're obedient. Hallelujah. I want to be obedient. We've heard about that this morning. The second principle is God's provision comes in many, many ways. God sometimes uses, if you like, the natural and sometimes the supernatural. But he provided the ravens by the brook. But then that provision ran dry, didn't it? And so God led him to another place. Interestingly, to the place which was Jezebel's home place, if you like. It's interesting, isn't it? God knows what he's doing. Now, if it said to me, go to somebody who was worshipping Baal and encouraging Baal worship and knew was an enemy of Israel, enemy of the prophets, I'd wonder if I'd be keen to go. But she went. He went, I mean. Well, here we have Elijah. Living now in, if you like, pagan territory. And you just see, he's been fed miraculously, and praise be to the Lord, from the ravens, but he's hungry. He's gone now to this new place, and he's hungry, he's famished. He thought, I could do with a big meal. And as he enters this place, he's thinking to himself, I would be thinking, I hope there's a McDonald's here. This is what he would be thinking. God has said to him, there's going to be a widow there. She's going to meet your needs. So you think, well, there's no McDonald's, but there's sure going to be some prosperous, healthy, well-developed women around here, you know, with good homes and everything. I'm going to be okay here. Who does he meet but this poor, bedraggled widow woman? Give me some water. Oh, bring me some bread. Oh, I can't. This dear woman was preparing for her funeral. That's what she was doing. She was basically preparing for her funeral. That was going to be her funeral meal. They'd got none. Imagine what Elijah felt, but he was being obedient. This woman overcame her fear. She overcame her fear, didn't she? And faith rose up. She overcame her fear. What have we got to overcome? Not in our own strength, but in trusting the Lord. It's understandable that she would have doubted, but she obeyed. She obeyed. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. She responded in faith. Well, Elijah lodged with her for some months, I think. He lodged with her and it didn't run dry. I mean, the oil of the Holy Spirit doesn't run dry. Fresh, living waters, the bread, the word of God, the presence of the Lord. The jars kept being filled. Miraculous provision, living under the supernatural blessing of God. Doesn't make sense to the natural, but the things of God don't to the natural person. These things come to those who have spiritual eyes and are now in tune with the Lord. The days are coming, and we need to start learning these principles today and practicing them in the Holy Spirit. The days are coming when we need that divine intervention. Her sister is in Kenya at the moment, and she will be seeing a real destitution, real poverty, real heartaches, but she will also be seeing faith of the believers there, where the Lord somehow at the last moment comes in and supplies. Uses people, uses their own resources. God provides. He doesn't let the righteous go begging for bread. We'll be seeing that in India. We have to have that mentality. We can become so too materialistic and so on. But we've got to say, God, I want to do your will, your bidding. This widow woman was prepared to give her last. God will make up and supply. You see, friends, God has promised to meet our needs, hasn't he? My needs will be supplied. My grace is sufficient. My needs will be supplied. He knows how much we need. He may bless us beyond. He may. But he knows what we need. He's a good God. He's a good God, friends. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Sometimes, friends, we have to give out of our need. Sometimes we do. Give out of our need. The woman gave first. Just remember that when the widow sort of said, hey, I've got none, I've only got enough for my funeral, basically. Elijah could have doubted the word of the Lord. Elijah said, I am going to provide for you. But at that moment, he could have doubted. I don't know if he did or not. He's a man like us. But then he saw God and he knew God had spoken. And although in his natural he might doubt this woman was the provision, God had provided this woman in the weakness, in the foolishness of man, in the littleness, in our weakness, God's power is displayed. He didn't send him to the prosperous. He sent them so that his power could be seen at work. I am the supernatural God. I am the God of miracles. I am the God that moves the mountains for you. Faith in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Friends, the circumstances may seem to contradict what God has said. Have faith in God. Has God spoken? Third principle is that through it all, God is the source of life. Well, of course, it did go. It seemed to go pear-shaped, didn't it? A few months later, having lived in this dear lady's house, or part of the house, the son goes ill and dies. And the woman is angry, blames, and, you know, thinks that she's been judged for past sin. Incidentally, this woman wasn't an Israelite. Probably a believer, she wasn't an Israelite. Do you notice what Elijah, he actually got a bit angry with God. He shouted at God, you know, you brought me here. It's okay at times. When things seem to be crowding and, hey, seems that we're up against it. And Elijah called unto God. He called unto God. It says in verse 20, he cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son? He may have had a 10-minute self-pity party. That's okay, but don't dwell there. You dwell in your self-pity, friends. You are saying, okay, I don't trust you, Lord. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. You may, when you're having a self-pity party, you're having to think, hey, okay, I'm just going to phone up so-and-so, get them to pray for me, but I'm going to read his word, I'm going to put a worship tape on. I know my God's there. I don't quite know what's happening, but I'm going to prove God in this. He's for me. Yeah, in suffering, God can make himself known. So he stretches himself out. And he shouldn't have done that, really. You shouldn't touch a dead body. But he did. He laid himself out 3 times. Hallelujah. And the boy revived. Elijah being obedient. Do you know, I believe Elijah had great compassion. I believe he had huge compassion for the widow, for the son. He loved. He had compassion. He had the heart of God. The boy revived. We need compassion. All of us need compassion. We must be careful, friends, that we don't go after the signs. So this was an amazing sign, and God's going to do many great and wonderful things, even in these last days. There's going to be many wow factors, I believe, in these end times. But if any of you or I go after the signs, Jesus will say, hey, you're an adulterous person. God has no interest in providing Holy Spirit miracles for the delight and the entertainment of the Christian public. Hear that. God has no delight in providing Holy Spirit miracles, supernatural appearances, dramatic interventions for the entertainment of the Christian public. He does it so he's going to be glorified. Hallelujah. And to increase our faith, he can do all things. Where the Lord of God leads you, he will feed you. Where he guides you, he will provide. Amen.